Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Tremaine Clarity. This podcast is focused on all aspects in education that are happening right here in the Roane Area School District. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Solderbloom, here with Dr. Clarity, our superintendent.
Morning, Marcy. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. We have a lot happening here in the Roane Area School District today as we're recording this. Our Sugar Creek students and families are doing their annual school walk outside, and we've got some amazing students here today. We have three advisories in the Roane Area School District: a student advisory for the middle schools and the high school, a parent and family advisory, and a staff advisory. The advisories are intentionally designed and skillfully facilitated to enhance student, family, and staff voices. The input and feedback they provide helps inform decisions throughout the district. And we're joined by two of our student advisory members today.
Again, welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I am proud to be here with our dynamic team of students here. We have MJ Kurt and we have Faith Rush. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to have you bright and early on a Monday morning while we were recording. We'll probably put this out probably on a Wednesday, you know, make sure everybody has time to settle in and we can make sure that it's ready to go. But really proud of everything that you've been able to bring to the student advisory, and definitely wanted to highlight the work of the team this year. And so I'm going to open up with you, Faith, and thinking about your work here with the advisory and just what it's meant for you. I think you and MJ are two of my longest standing members, going into the middle school and all the way through high school. So just tell me about your journey, what it's meant to you.
Yeah, so I joined in seventh grade. I kind of just like got recruited when it first became a thing when Dr. Clarity came to our district. We have worked a lot on talking and bringing up discussions of different things in our district that we want to see change. And I haven't seen anything but positive things from it. And I think it's truly making a big impact on our district.
Well, that's very nice of you, Faith. And who's the person behind the team here? Like, tell us about yourself.
So I'm a junior going into my senior year soon, which is pretty scary. Outside of school, I am pretty active. I like doing sports. I joined lacrosse this year. School's not my favorite thing, but if I had to pick a subject, I'd definitely say the English classes.
Yeah.
For sure, not a math person. But yeah, I like to be active in school. I'm in different clubs, like student council, and that's like my favorite because we get to work on homecoming and brainstorm ideas for different community things. So that's always fun. So,
excellent, yeah. Excellent. And just watching you grow from, you know, the time we met in seventh grade to now, you've really taken over as one of our top leaders here in the group, along with MJ. And MJ, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How's it going for you?
Good.
Good, good. And I heard you had some great weekend, a little side job there you have going.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Everybody likes a working student. That's what, like, every parent's dream.
I know, that's right.
All right. So tell us about your journey as well. And again, we appreciate so much that you brought to the advisory. I think we can describe you as never being worried about expressing your voice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's what we like about you. So talk to us about the person behind the mic here.
Well, I'm MJ. I'm a senior this year, graduating. My favorite classes are usually social studies type classes. I love learning about history and stuff like that. Outside of school, you know, I might complain about my job, but I do love it. I really do. Making pizzas, hanging out. It's very fun. And the advisory for me, honestly, I remember, I think I was also in seventh grade when I joined, and I remember being scared because the room we met in was like the detention room of the school, and I remember I was so scared. But then Dr. Clarity came in, and I was like, man, he looks so cool wearing a suit right now. And then I started talking to a bunch of these kids, and I was like, wow, like, all I remember was that I finally felt like whatever I was doing it right, and that somebody was noticing that.
Excellent.
And that finally made me feel like I actually could use my voice for something, and like, yeah, so yeah.
Excellent. And, you know, I can't speak enough to what this advisory has meant to me and my leadership. I try to go back and make sure that the team always knows that the words that they express and the actions that they expect us to take come to life, and we try to go back and report those things all the time. But really, it cascades far past me. I use it in cabinet meetings. I use it at board meetings. I use the information when I do listening sessions and talking sessions at each of our buildings. So the words that you express in those spaces really resonate throughout our district. And what are some of the things that you've like to, Faith, I'm going to come back to you on this one. Some of the things that you've seen based off your participation that you've seen come to life in the Verona Area School District?
Yeah, so recently actually we had a meeting about our school resource officer.
Yeah.
So we recently implemented that in the high school. We kind of had a discussion about that. It was already something coming into plan, but I think just kind of like going over it in our meeting, it kind of set expectations and kind of like what to expect. And I think that's good that we talked about it to know that if like we see something that like shouldn't be happening or maybe like should be happening, that's not, definitely like it created a safe space to like open up and use our voice to advocate for those who may be affected by like these decisions of like a resource officer coming in and like the pros and cons of it.
Excellent. And then MJ, I know, and both of you did a wonderful job on this. When we did the student experience survey, we had one that we kind of created, and then we pivoted a little bit because what I really remember from those meetings were you saying that, yeah, the first one was okay, but it wasn't really telling me about how I feel. You were asking me to say about how someone else felt, and that's a little bit harder to do. So we made the adjustments to the student survey, and tell me, can you talk about that process and what that meant for you being able to express your voice a little bit more?
Yeah, I do remember that meeting. We looked at the student survey results the first time, and they were all like, they were telling, definitely. But I remember that meeting, we asked, we were like, can we like separate more and try to get more information from the students, because we just needed to see more in depth about what we're thinking and talking about, because otherwise it's harder to like really understand. And I know I talked to some of my friends that aren't on the board, and they, and I told them about our conversation and stuff, and they even felt like they were more heard just by knowing that like there are students back there behind the scenes trying to make these things better and trying to make like even just the little surveys more accessible and like easier, I think.
Excellent. And I'm going to stay with you, MJ, and then I'm going to come right back to you, Faith, as well on this next one. From the get-go, we've leaned into diversity, equity, and inclusion and never shied away from it, and we won't shy away from it. So I'm going to start this back probably when you were eighth graders, by that time, when we started working on the equity framework, and we started building that as part of our full strategic plan all the way moving to now, where even as of our last meeting, I believe, I had you reading our diversity, equity, and inclusion letter to make sure that everyone in our community understand we were not going to remove diversity, equity, and inclusion from our environment, because that has resonated throughout society. So MJ, if you could kind of go back in time a little bit, I know it was a little bit hard to do that, to where we started, and then leave a little space for Faith at the end, and we'll talk about our process with the diversity, equity, inclusion communication that went out.
Yeah, I remember back in eighth grade, we reframed like our equity statement for the school, and I remember I still think about that statement every single time we talk about anything in our group, I think in board meetings too. Like, absolutely. I see that statement everywhere, and like it just shows like how much that we try to value that always, 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 and how that is always going to be the forefront of like just inclusion and equity for everyone all the time. And
absolutely. And Faith.
Yeah, I remember honestly, like, I think every kind of part of our meeting back in eighth grade, ninth grade, we would kind of pick it apart and start writing different lines of what we believe is like going to resonate with our student body and staff here in Verona. And I think that like working together, especially with student voices, really made the biggest impact on this, of, you know, having these different identities come forward and be like, okay, like this like should be changed because it's not very like inclusive language. Like, things are outdated, you know, like I believe that it wasn't updated in like many
long
years.
Time. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that like working with this group to reframe it and revise it and make sure that everyone's identity was like a part of it and seen is something I think that was really impactful to this group and obviously in our whole district in itself. As MJ said, like, it's kind of like the forefront of everything. Like, it's always shown, it's something we're proud of, and I think it's a really cool thing that we got to do.
Absolutely. And the legacy that both of you and the team have created, because that framework will continue to live strong. We'll some things may shift, but our beliefs and our stance on equity framework will never go away, and we'll continue to lean in. So you can be 20 years from now and talking, and somebody's going to look back and say, hey, this is what our student advisory built, and be able to have that as part of it and celebrate that honor that you were part of that as well. So, Faith, I love what you said, and I also recognize, and I'm not going to try to put an age on me or Marcy or anyone, but sometimes as we get a little older, we can develop some blind spots, and especially when it comes to language that we maybe overuse in education that don't necessarily, and you said it perfectly, doesn't always resonate with students. And the both of you have done a good job of, you know, that word doesn't mean the same thing anymore. Or if you said it this way, people wouldn't understand what you're talking about. Can you talk a little bit more about how you and MJ have been able to help us think about our communications? Because not just our equity framework, we put a lot of communication in front of you. Like, read this, give us some feedback, and just think about that process in the room when we're together. How does that work out for you?
Yeah, one funny thing I would say is there always is a joke of like, should we put it on like Instagram or like TikTok, whatever the nowadays media is, because we're really good at recognizing like students aren't going to always take the time to read an email. So like if we're going to send one, what's the best way to do it? So like, for example, like in a meeting, we'll have a piece of paper and we'll read through the draft of what's going to get sent out, and we'll be like, let's take this out. Like, it's maybe misleading or like just not needed for students to read. I think that like, we kind of work to like simplify it more and kind of almost like put it in a way of like how students kind of read things now. Like, obviously adults are more like sophisticated usually and like and more professional. And I think for us to get the best result of like a message being sent out, we definitely try to not like dumb it down, but just make it more simple and really easy to pick apart and really take in like what's being said.
Absolutely, because that's the message is more important than just than how fancy we write it.
Right.
I get it. And MJ, I this resonates in my ear all the time. I can almost like say, you'll say, Dr. Cleary, just say it like this, you know. So give me some examples of how you put that voice out there for us.
I know just recently actually made a video for like attendance, like things you didn't know about attendance. And I know that was also, that was really good because it was like kind of trendy and it was like on Instagram. Yep. And I know like I posted it on my story because I thought it was really funny. And it was also like educational. And I think like stuff like that in itself is just such a good way to reach the students because like we can relate to it and like we might think it's cringy, but like it's funny also.
Correct.
And like it makes us like want to look at stuff like that and not want to just like swipe it away, you know?
Absolutely. And so beyond our work with diversity, equity, and inclusion, MJ, I'm going to stay with you and then go to Faith. The team has done an amazing job of helping us lean into safety issues. Some of the safety issues have been around school violence in the area and across our nation. And also we've done some things around just feeling safe, like in our own bathrooms and things like that, and big areas where the team really want us to lean into what made them feel comfortable and had a sense of belonging in the space. So MJ, in terms of school safety, you know, how has your voice really helped our full student body have a higher sense of safety?
That's something that I remember a few meetings back, we took it, like it was a very hard meeting. We really wanted to dive into school safety, like physical safety specifically, and how all of our students felt. And we dove into the small groups and we all had really deep conversations about like what we need to feel safe at school and how to make school better. And I think this partly led to us getting our resource officer. And I know personally I was a little worried about the officer, but it actually made me feel much better at school, which was very nice. And I know like emotional safety, bathroom safety is something we also always bring up, because I know a lot of students talk about our bathrooms. And I've definitely seen some of them improve since we started talking about them and since we've kind of kept pushing to get those changes that we needed. And,
Yeah, I'd say throughout our meetings, like that breaking into small groups and really deep diving on what we feel is the best for us to feel safe and like not feel like really guarded down, but also make sure like we are protected, is definitely something that's really important. And like understanding of, we're not, you know, like you guys aren't trying to make us feel like we're trapped inside this building and we can't do anything. Like, I think something to highlight is, like, when we run through our safety training, we run through this...
like the simulations?
Yeah, simulation. Yeah. And we call, like, ALICE, that, like, stands for different, like, procedures. And I think our school's really good at kind of making it clear, like, okay, like, you can stay in the classroom. You can, like, kind of choose the decision for yourself. If you, whatever you feel safe with, which I think is really important. But also adding on to that, in that meeting, we also talked about, you know, like, safety detectors, sensors, like, that we would maybe put throughout the building just to make kids feel safe. We made it clear, like, okay, like, some kids may see this as, like, wow, like, this is really scary, but we kind of also geared towards, like, well, in this reality, like, it honestly might make kids feel better knowing that, like, we have the extra factor of safety. So I think just, like, taking these meetings to talk about what we can do as a community to make our students feel safer is really important as we get both sides of positive and negatives. And I think that's something that's really important.
Absolutely. MJ, anything else? Good?
I don't think so.
All right, excellent. This is not on our list, and I'm notorious for switching off topic, but you two know me by now. I'm going to do that.
I guess so.
There's two areas that I have just become enamored in learning more because I really think it is the direction of education, as artificial intelligence and AI, and thinking about the student experience with that. And it is our responsibility to make sure that I prepare each student to be able to thrive in a diverse global society. And as I read every metric, the knowledge that you have around artificial intelligence and AI to go into, like, the workforce or even to the college setting is so important, and it came on us so fast. Mm-hmm. And began moving. So from the student perspective, have you had some deep thoughts about it, or where are the adults behind the students right now, or where are we on this AI journey?
I think AI is definitely interesting.
Yeah.
I think it definitely has a place in school. It has a place for it to be useful and to even, like, be funny. It has a place in school. But at the moment, I think it's so new and so, like, wow, shiny, this is new, that, like, it's everywhere. It's a lot. It's a lot on assignments, I will say. And, like, even me, sometimes I'll Google something and be like, then the AI thing will be the first thing to pop up. And it's like, well, now I got to use it. But I don't know how adults feel on it very much. I don't think teachers like it very much. From what I've seen, I do not think they like it that much. Because I know if I was a teacher, I would be thinking, man, I had to do all my work in school, like pen and paper, and now these kids get some AI. But, you know, I guess, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a rising concern. In my perspective, I mean, I won't lie, I definitely use it sometimes.
Absolutely.
But I think, like...
I use it.
Yeah.
every day.
I think it's a really helpful tool, definitely, for students and staff to use. I mean, it can really be used in the right way, but I think it can become a point where it's abusing it. And I think it's honestly, in my perspective, kind of scary to see, like, okay, like, if this can make a whole essay, like, what else can it do? Like, what else can it do to take away from actual jobs in the world? Mm-hmm. I think maybe staff are worried about that, of like, wow, like, you know, if they can just look this up, then why am I teaching it? Like, what's kind of my point of being here then? And I definitely know teachers do not like it. There's a lot of feedback from teachers of, like, don't use this, you know, like, it's just so, like, ridiculous and, like, whatever. But yeah, I just, in my perspective, I think it's kind of a rising concern to see kids not, like, really being creative anymore. I think it's kind of taking away from that, and that's definitely something I've seen myself, of, like, growing up, like, on social media and, like, having a phone. Like, I think creativity is really on, like, the rundown. Like, it's not really there anymore, and I think AI is definitely taking even a bigger toll on that.
Absolutely. It was great responses by both of you. As I think about our responsibility to educate, and I appreciate the way you said it, it can be scary because we don't know how to use it yet. But if we were building courses around appropriate AI use, what would be some of the things that you would want us to build the course around and make sure that students knew and understood about it?
I think it's more about, like, you have to kind of instill values rather than teach how to use it, because, like, you should want to have authentic and honest work. You should. And
I know it's tough, especially after COVID. It's like, oh, I just want to get it done. Yeah. But, like, you should want to have a good essay that you know that you wrote with only your own mind and not the mind of, like, half the internet. But, yeah, for a class, I guess I really wouldn't be sure what to say.
Excellent. No, you answered that perfectly. You know, it really did. It really gave me a lot to think about.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely, like where you said, like, kind of show the values of it. I think if we kind of put it in front of our student body and just say, like, okay, like, this is a tool, I definitely think it'll just keep on getting used the wrong way. But I think, like, if we work to educate students and be like, you know, like, you can't use this in all your life aspects right now. Like, you know, like, you want to be proud of your work. Like MJ said, like, you want to be like, I did this. I think just kind of highlighting the excellence of original work and then kind of gearing towards, like, but if I need help and I can't get the help right away, like, this is a really good tool to use. Because, like, I think personally that's how I use it. Like, if I'm stuck on an assignment, I'll Google something here and there. Like MJ said, like, that's kind of just the first thing that pops up. But I definitely think just, like, showing the downsides of it, too. Of, like, okay, like, then you're not going to actually learn from it. You're not going to, you know, feel proud of, like, the actual work you did because it's not your work. And so I just definitely think, like, implementing, again, like, the positive and negatives of everything and kind of highlighting, like, the what you'll get out of it and what you won't.
Absolutely. And so, if I can summarize what both of you said, and you guys mastered this response, and really thinking about it's really understanding the value of learning over the completing the task. If you look at an assignment as only the task and not a learning experience, then you're just going to turn in whatever is produced. The second thing I heard each of you say is making sure that the information is accurate. And in terms of, we unfortunately live in a space in our society of anyone can put an opinion or a narrative online, and without understanding how to actually know if it's research or not, understand if it's factual or is it just thrown out there or just someone trying to, you know, start to mess out to change mindset. So yeah, it's really, really interesting. So that, you know, that is one of our goals that we, you know, need to move faster on, is really putting responsible use of artificial intelligence coursework into our course guide so we can make sure that our students are using it, don't necessarily fear it, because what we do know is that we can't shy away from it. That'd be like shying away from the internet 30 years ago. That's, you know, it's here, and it's, and we're, you know, we're it's time to embrace it. All right, so we're gonna, one closing question for both of you. All right, so let's think all the way back to seventh grade and the dynamic leaders that you are now and that you've been this whole time. If you could tell that seventh grade person something walking into that space for the first time that you've known just because of your wisdom and the things that you've learned, what would you tell that seventh grade person coming into the space? Faith.
I would definitely say that you're working on creating a legacy for sure in the Verona area community. I know as a seventh grade, I was very scared of this group, and I was like, really shying away from fully using my voice. But I think now that, you know, I've got to know Dr. Clarity and the person that he is, I've been able to really just speak my mind and not really shy away from the truth and the vulnerability that comes with this group. So yeah, I definitely just highlight that of how much I've grown from shying away of, like, actually speaking what I think. And like, I used to kind of just think, like, the kind of, like, the overall, like, what everyone thinks. Now I think I have really deep dive more into different aspects and perspectives for sure, and have not been scared to speak about that.
So. Excellent. Very, very proud of you and your journey as well, Faith.
Thank you.
MJ.
I guess not a message for, like, group specific, but, like, just for kids that age. Yeah. Like, I know school is, like, so, it can be so overwhelming and so heavy, but I would say, like, regardless of where you're at, middle school, elementary school, getting into high school, like, don't just sit and be overwhelmed alone. Like, tell somebody, tell your English teacher, tell your superintendent, like, tell literally anybody that, like, you don't have to just sit and be scared by yourself. Like, you can be scared with somebody. You can also be happy with somebody. Like, yeah, like, you can just do it with somebody else.
Excellent. Basically. I can sit here and talk to you, both of you, all day long, but I probably wouldn't be responsible if I didn't have you, like, probably go to class today and do get ready for the end of the school year. But best wishes to the both of you as you close the school year. So enjoy working with you. We have another session next week already. Our closing time, our big gala.
Yeah.
I'm gonna lose MJ.
Tragic.
So, but I know she'll always reach out and she'll probably email and say, "What are you doing, Dr. Clarity? You think about this differently." That's what I love that about both of you. And so I just want to thank you both for being on the podcast with me today. We're excited to get this out. I'm going to see some of you this evening at the Board of Education meeting as we'll continue to resonate the story and the power of the student advisory. And thank you for lifting your voices and being such a magical component of who we are in Broner Area School District. I'm going to turn it back to Marcy.
All right. As we close out today, Dr. Clarity and I work together a lot, and it shows because I was also sitting here thinking we could have another 3 hours of this conversation with the two of you, and just it's great to scratch the surface with you and learn about your journeys. Thank you both, Faith and MJ, for being here today. And thank you all for joining us on In the Loop with the Soup. We hope you enjoyed learning a little bit of our student advisory and the really incredible and deep work that they do here in the Verona Area School District. We'll see you next time.